Open your Bibles to John 17. 8:30 is the Born Again Trail. Thank God. I just thank God that Dave started these early classes. I think I've grown more in the last 2 years, or however long, it's 2.5 years since he's been doing this. You know, and just like he said, when he asked the Father, he says, you know, those bait verses like, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these. And we read those, all things are possible, you know, and we read those. I've read them since I was a child. And you know, you don't ever want to call Jesus a liar. You know, he said the truth. But you don't see anybody hardly on earth walking in it. And so Dave was frustrated like that too. And so he, in prayer, he says, Lord, what? Where's the answer? Where is the information that gets us to where we can walk in those things? And the Lord told him, he said, well, it's in the verses that nobody ever teaches on. And my Lord, over the last 2.5, 3 years, little verses, you know, that everybody just kind of passes over because, you know, I think we kid ourselves thinking, well, those aren't important. Well, no, the reason we pass them over is we don't know what the heck they mean. We don't have a clue what they mean, you know. So again, Dave's job, you know, he's like the scientist. He's the E=mc² type guy. You know, what interests him, he wants to be right out on the cutting edge of revelation knowledge, and I like that. But I'm the engineer that comes along behind, you know, and you come up with a formula like E=mc², and a guy like me goes, hey, you know, I think we could use that and make a toaster with it, and people could use it. So my job today, this is the first time I've gotten to speak at one of the 8:30 services in quite a while, and all of these wonderful revelations that we've been getting, ultimately, if we don't walk in them, what good did they do? Isn't that right? Again, we need, I mean, thank God for scientists, you know. Without them, there's no progress. But then the engineers come along behind, well, how do we incorporate that? Is there anything we can do that would make this functional and operative in our life? Well, I believe today you're going to get one of those poster-type messages. Very practical, and say some of these profound things, get them down a little more belt high, you know, because the Holy Ghost, he has a real job with me. He has to get this down where I can understand it. But normally once he does that, because he has to bring it down pretty low where I get it. So once I get it, then when I say it, everybody gets it. You know? You got to get it down. Okay, I heard Dave. What does that mean? You have to listen to Dave and pray for the interpretation, you know. Hallelujah. So let's look at some verses here that just really used to bother me until the born-again trail and praying in tongues to let the teacher explain to me what it means. And we'll start in John 17, in let's start in verse 14. Now, as you know, this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. This is just a matter of hours, really, before the cross. I mean, I figure if there was any prayer ever prayed at any time, it's this one that would get an answer. You have God the Son praying to God the Father just moments before the cross. Do you reckon this prayer was answered? I believe it is. So it's important we understand what he was praying, and because when we find out what he was praying for, those are our answers. All right, so starting in verse 14, he says, Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Now notice this. You've heard this forever. You're going to have a little different understanding of it by 9:30. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now this next verse is the one that really bugged me. This is the one I was asking about. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us, isn't it? So whatever's in this prayer for these disciples is just as much for us as it was for them. Because one way or another, every one of you, every one of us, believed on Him through their word, the New Testament. Hallelujah. Well, now the verse that bugged me was verse 19, because Jesus here, this is red letters, and I know it's Him speaking, and He says, "For their sakes I sanctify myself." Now see what He's really praying here, if you read the whole prayer, which we just don't have time to go through all of it, He's really praying, "It's time for me to be glorified now." And remember, this is just hours before the cross. So He's about to go through that experience of the death, burial, and resurrection. And this is the prayer He offers up right before that event, see? But He says, "I sanctify myself so that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Now, what bugged me was, what does that mean? Jesus, as far as, when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He was always sanctified. I mean, He never lived according to this world, did He? I don't ever find a time where He got drunk, do you? I don't ever find a time where He lost it, you know? He was always walked sanctified from this world. I mean, from the time, you know, His spirit was from above, and from the time He was conceived in the womb of Mary, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He always lived sanctified. So what does this, here's one of those verses. Now what does that mean? How do you sanctify something that is already sanctified? And what does that have to do? I mean, okay, He's sanctified. Now what does that have to do with us being sanctified, not according to this world, see? Well, it just bugged me. See, I'm going, now, what does this really mean? He's praying for us here. He's praying for the disciples that were listening, you know, that had followed Him then. And He's praying for us. And if we can understand what this means and get it down on a toaster level, it will affect our walk. Because what He's really praying is, hey, I want them to walk like me. Can you see that? How many of y'all are just totally pleased with your current walk? I don't see, for benefit of the tape, I don't see a single hand going up, you know. Thank God we don't have to cast out any religious devils. Pride devils. See, I'm not. I got a long ways to go before I'm sanctified, you know, satisfied with my own sanctification. But I know part of the answer is in this prayer. If I can understand what He's really praying here, then it's going to affect my walk. All right, now, let's see. The whole point is, Jesus was the only man since Adam that was able to totally live the righteousness of the law. Now, how was He able to do that? Why was He the only? I mean, for thousands, for at least hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jews proved that unregenerate man, with all of his best efforts, cannot, I mean, try as he might, he cannot keep the righteousness of the law. Romans 7 is the agony of a man in that condition. He has a mind to serve God. He wants to keep the law. God's given him the law. It's not that he doesn't understand it. He wants to keep it. Everything in his mind, he says, okay, this time I'm going to keep it. And it won't be hardly any time at all. It's time to sacrifice another lamb, you know. Time to, you know, better bring another bull, put it on the altar. So here we have one man, since the fall of Adam, and only one, who was able to live a sanctified life. Isn't that right? Why was he able to do it? That life within him did not originate on this planet. His life was from a whole different world. When he says, "I am not of this world," honey, he ain't kidding. See, we walk around, most of us, barely trying to, you know, believe we're even still really saved. You know? I mean, we don't have a concept of not being of this world. We've heard it preached. We've listened to it. We've heard good messages on it. I've heard messages when I was in the Baptist church, "You're not of this world," you know, and I go out and act just like I am. Well, our mindset is still very much, we are of this world. His wasn't. He was not of this world. His spirit did not originate on this planet. It did not come from Adam. It came directly from God by the Holy Ghost conceived in the womb of Mary. That's why he was able to live sanctified. Now, he's coming up to the time of the cross here, because In his present form, when he prays this prayer as Jesus of Nazareth, he is one human vessel with now his body came from Mary. Okay, his molecules came from the earth. Just like that, he had a mortal body that is absolutely no different than yours and mine. It's a mortal body brought from Mary, which originally came from Adam. Okay? So his body is of this earth, but his spirit is from heaven. Now, the power of that life, the power, the life, the strength of it, the righteousness of it, that's what enabled him to live a sanctified life that we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't walk according to this world because in truth, he was not of this world. And he knew he wasn't of this world. Now, why he's praying this though? Now, so what does that got to do with him being sanctified? In his current form, when he prayed this prayer, he is one human vessel, and he's the only human vessel on the planet that has the life of God in him that enables him to sanctify, you know, to live a sanctified life. That's not the Father's plan. That's not the mission. The whole idea is, what if we could reproduce that life in millions of other people so that they didn't just go around saying they weren't of this world, but in truth, they're not. They're not of this world. And when he says, I sanctify myself, what he's really talking about is the glorification process. In fact, you can back right up there, and if I can find it quick enough. He said, you're else in the first verse, John 17:1. He says, Father, the hour is come. It's right before the cross. Glorify thy Son. What he's talking about is take me through the process now of the cross, the burial, the resurrection. I'm going to be sanctified now completely, even from this planet. I will be in heaven, and in that form, the life that you've given for me to have in myself, those that believe on me, I will put that same life for them to have in themselves, and they won't be of this planet. They won't be of the world any more than I'm of the world. The same life that enabled me to walk sanctified from it will enable them to walk sanctified from it. That's what he's talking about. Now, with that thinking in mind, let's go back and read those same verses again, see? Now, in verse 14, he's just using the faith of Abraham. This event hasn't happened yet, but he's calling those things that be not as though they were. He's fixing to go through the process that's going to cause this to happen. I have given them thy word, he's already done, and the world hath hated them. This is the part where he's calling those things that be not as though they were, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, at that precise instant, they were too. They still had the spirit of Adam in them. Can you see he is calling those things that be not as though they were? He's speaking the end result of the glorification process that he's asking the Father to take him through. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. What is that? I've heard all kinds of dumb, crazy messages on that verse. You know what that is really talking about? The same thing the whole passage is talking about. He says, the prayer, I'm not praying you take them with me. No, the prayer is, the end result of this process, my life will be in them, and by that life they will be sanctified from the evil fallen world while they live here. My life that you're going to put in them, that will keep them from the evil. It will cause them to be able to have the strength and the power and the moral integrity to walk free from the world just like I've walked free from the world. He's talking about the same thing. That's how the Father's going to keep us from the evil. Satan, who is the god of this world, corruption, pornography, you name it, alcoholism, you name it, anything, everything that's fallen of this world. No, he says, Father, by this process, you're going to keep them from all that evil. Just like the nature you gave me kept me from all that evil. I had strength to walk free from it because I'm not of that planet. Now we're starting to understand why he could make statements like, Satan has nothing in me. There's nothing in me. My spirit's not even from this world. Satan's a god of this world. I'm not of this world. Now, the previews. Take this on a little bit. So you go, yeah, that's Jesus. No, that's you. The life that he had in himself, he has given for you to have in yourself. But we have no consciousness of that other than 8:30 Sunday morning. our mindset is still we are creatures of this world, you know. And we walk out of here, we rah-rah, yay, you preach Dave, go Gary, yeah, that's right. We walk out and we act just like creatures of the world. Why? Is it because that God's a liar and he didn't change you? No, he did change you. That life is in there. But just like Jesus said in Mark 4, he says it comes in like a seed. You've got to spend time nourishing the seed. He says, if you do that, it will grow up and become the biggest tree. It will take over your whole garden. What does that mean? Well, in another parable, Jesus said, no, it's like this. He said, well, it's like this. It's like a woman that took 3 measures of meal, and she put in the yeast, you know, and then she worked it until all 3 measures were leavened with that yeast. Now, why do you suppose he used, in that parable, 3 measures of meal? Spirit, soul, body. Does that remind you of a verse? Work out your own salvation from the inside out. How do you do that? Well, it's not by going back and studying the law and trying to keep it with human effort, I'll tell you that. No, it's by nurturing the new nature. Let it leaven. You spend time praying in the Holy Ghost and let that new nature leaven and grow. It will eventually spread not just in your spirit. It'll permeate and take over your thinking. Like what? Well, like this message. Al shouldn't pick on her because she's about as sanctified a person as I know, see? But see, you can pick anybody. It's one thing to hear you're not of this world. It's another thing, honey, to know you're not. See, our thinking has got to change. I'm talking about our soul has got to be changed. We got to think like he thinks. He wasn't preaching, you know, like some kind of religious theory, I'm not of this world. He knew he was not of this world. And the thing that we don't know is we're not either. You don't need to turn there because we got a lot of ground to cover yet. We just hardly got started. And Dave's been hitting this verse hard and heavy, see? And it's 1 Corinthians 2:12. Don't turn there. We've been, you know, you ought to know it by heart by now. See, he says, Paul, writing to believers, he says, look, now that you're born again, we have received not the spirit of the world. You did when you were born on the planet the first time. That is the spirit of the world you were born with. It's the fallen nature passed down to each and every one of us from Adam. That's the spirit of this world. You're born with it the first time on the earth, right? But he says, now that you're born again, we've not received that spirit, but the spirit which is of God. You've been born again. You literally are not of this world. Now, your body is. Have you noticed? My body likes everything of this world. Coconut cream pie, big houses. My body likes to be petted and pampered and get what it wants when it wants it, and it don't care what God thinks about it either. It just wants what it wants when it wants it. My body's not saved. My body is definitely of this world. Now, the thing of it is, so was Jesus'. So was his. But the power, the strength of that nature, that life that was on the inside of him, kept that body under control. And the thing I'm just now finding out, and the thing we're preaching this morning, that's the same nature that's in each and every one of us. What does that mean? Toaster level, please. My body. Here's my body talking to me. I want 4 pieces of coconut cream pie. Now. And my new nature says, no. And my body says, I'll make you miserable if you don't give me 4 pieces of coconut cream pie. But my new nature says, no. And now in the past, that's what we're really talking there. That sounds funny, but what we're talking is Romans 7. And in the past, with a sin nature, the nature of the world, you'd try and overpower that fleshly desires and lust, and there was no strength in there to do it because really the nature in you agreed with the flesh. The spirit that you were born with agreed with the flesh you were born with. But now that we're born again, our spirit is not of this world, and it does not agree with the flesh. It doesn't agree anymore. And there's strength in it if we can nurture it Thank God for this church. Thank God for Dave Roberson. Dave Roberson teaching us how to nurture that nature on the inside of us so it rises up. Because Dave says once it really does, your soul and your flesh will think it's been run over by the Titanic. See, this is not positive thinking. That's what the world would say. Oh, it's just just think you can and you can. Honey, we're talking about something completely different than positive thoughts. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to all them that believe. This is not positive thinking. This is life from another world. And I mean, the life of the Creator is in it. And if we just nurture it, that's why it says, that Paul said in Galatians, if you sow to the Spirit, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you'll keep sowing, and you keep sowing to the Spirit, and you keep sowing to that new nature, and you keep sowing, the day is going to come, you're going to reap eternal life. What does that mean? That tree is going to grow up and take over your whole garden, and your soul and your flesh will think it's been run over by the Titanic. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I was praying about this. I said, Lord, is there a way that you can get this across to me where I can get it across to people? Because this is not the first time you've heard these kind of things. I may be saying it just a little different or something, but, you know. I said, is there an image we can take with us that will change us? Something we can hang on to that will really give us a reality of this? Because have you noticed the world is so daily? You know. Wednesday night is great, Friday night is great, Sunday is great, and Monday it's back to the world. Boy, I mean, you know, everything in you feels like you're of the world. The pressures that come, they make you think you're of this world. You know, the devil, he screams in your ear, what, you know, who do you think you are, you little religious thing, you? You know? We say, well, anyway. Anyway, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Because I was praying about this, and the Lord gave me this little vision or scenario. And I'm telling you, the more I think about this, I believe it's going to paint, you know, one picture, they say, is worth 1,000 words. We're going to paint a mental picture on the inside, something that you can cling to, that if you'll think about this and meditate on this, I believe it's going to be very effective and help. Because Jesus has already done His part. He has sanctified Himself. So that the life that was in Him could be imparted into us. When you believed, that life came into you. It's in there. Now what we got to do is get a consciousness of the fact that we are not of this world. Sow to the Spirit, so the strength and character that's in that life comes to maturity in us, so we actually walk, not according to this world. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 5 and 6. Now, I don't know if you mark in your Bible. There's three places here that if you do, it'd be good to underline, highlight, or do something. It says, even when we were dead in sins, I would underline these three words. He hath quickened us together. You get that? He has quickened, He's made us alive together. Together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and I'd underline these four words, and hath raised us up together, and then I'd underline these four words, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now you've heard good messages on that passage too. I have too. See, the truth of it is, from God's point of view, we all come out of the tomb together. Can you get that? There's no time in God, you know. Time's something that we have to use to keep our thinking logical. But in God's mind, see, all of Adam died in Christ on the cross. From God's point of view, the whole species of Adam died. Jesus didn't sin. He wasn't on the cross as Jesus. He was on the cross as Adam. He was the substitute. I will die as Adam. Adam should be on the cross. Adam is us. All of us, see? So, I mean, think of all the Adams that had died in the, you know, thousands of years before and all the Adams that's lived and died since. But in God, time is nothing to Him. And when Jesus died, as far as God's concerned, Adam died. The whole species. Isn't that good? Well, guess what else? You know, the Bible says all the time in the New Testament, we're in Christ. From God's point of view, I don't care if you were born 2,000 years after Jesus physically walked the earth. As far as He's concerned, no. He quickened you the same instant He quickened Jesus. You came out of the tomb when He did. Just like all of Adam died when Jesus died, all of the brethren were raised when Jesus was raised. You were quickened with Him. It's like it happened on the same day at the same time. You came out of the tomb with Him. Raised up together. What does that mean? It doesn't sound like raised up separately. It sounds like raised up together. And now here's something that'll... No, our minds... Like, how does Dave say that? Your brain will start leaking out your left ear if you think about this. Too much. But we all know we're seated right here on earth. But what does that verse say? It says you're already seated together with Him there. Okay. I have to believe it because that's what it said. Well, I was praying and I was asking the Lord about this whole sanctification thing and trying to get a consciousness of who we really are. And He started giving me this scenario or this vision. Now, this is my version of the dreaded yellow pad. Lights or no lights, I can do all things through Christ. I can read this. And it's only 2 pages, so like Dave says, you're relatively safe. Now get this. I keep seeing this scenario as an aid to understanding more completely that we are not of this world. We are sanctified from this present world even while we're living in it. We are quickened together with Christ, raised up together with Christ, and seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Now, I want y'all to try and see this as I read it, okay? Try and picture this like He was showing it to me. I see us all sitting next to Jesus in heaven. Can you picture that? I mean, it says you're seated there with Him, so see yourself seated there with Him. Now, by the way, His throne is just a whole lot bigger than yours. He alone is Lord, but we are seated together with Him. That's what it says, right? All right. Now, His throne is mighty compared to ours, signifying that He alone is Lord. But the point is, we are all seated together with Him in heaven. Now, picture like we are right now. And I want you to picture like this. Picture like we've been there a long time. Let's say we have all been in heaven with Jesus for about 1,000 years. You've had time to explore heaven. You got to talk with King David and Paul, Moses. You've seen those winged creatures around the throne. I mean, you've had time to explore the mountains and the valleys, and you've learned much about God. I mean, you've lived there 1,000 years, and heaven at this point seems natural to you. I mean, it seems like your environment. It's home. It's where you're comfortable. You're a citizen of heaven. You've been there 1,000 years. You've had many occasions to talk with Jesus and the Father. You know the angels on a first-name basis. It's home. You're used to it. It's comfortable to you. It's the environment you've lived in for 1,000 years. Can you get a picture of that? See, if we were born there first and grew up there, we wouldn't have any trouble understanding we're of heaven. Heaven is my home. I remember those old songs, you know, that I used to not like. You know? Heaven is my home. This world is not my home. Heaven is where my possessions lie. See, the Bible does say, set your affection on things above and not on things which be on the earth. Well, if you'd lived there 1,000 years, heaven would be your home. You'd know as your home. You knew you were a citizen of heaven, wouldn't you? You'd be very comfortable with that environment. All right? Now, seated there with Him, we had the same spirit of Him within us as is in His glorified humanity. Now get this, let this sink in. He is Lord, right? But we are brethren of His. We are kinsmen. We are relatives. We have the same Father. Can you get that? Dave says it this way. He says, in His glorified humanity, He has made us equal. Now we'll never touch His deity. You do understand that. He alone is God. But as the glorified man, we are his brethren. We are relatives. We're not like a slimy dog worm sitting next to him in heaven. We're of the same essence. The same spirit of him that raised him from the dead, that's the same spirit of him that raised you from the dead. You're of the same spirit. We have the same daddy. So we're kinsmen. Can you see that? It's like family. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my elder brother. Now I guarantee you, I'm the first in line to cast my crown at his feet. He alone is Lord. But it's important we start getting a understanding that we're kinsmen. We're brethren. We're relatives. We have the same daddy. Got that? All right. Now, we have the same, and we're going to go ahead and read this anyway, even though I said all that. We are kinsmen, relatives of Jesus. We have the same Father as Jesus. We're of the same family as Jesus. Now, get this. We have the same nature as Jesus. We are all sons and daughters of God. Jesus is the firstborn and has preeminence over all, and each of us gladly cast our crown at his feet. Our greatest pleasure is to serve the Lamb who sits upon the throne. Now, are you seeing yourself seated there? Have you got a sense of heaven? You got a sense that's home? You've been there 1,000 years? You got that? All right, now. Jesus, he calls a meeting. He says, I want all the brethren to come. So we all assemble around his throne to listen what the Lamb would have to say. And he says, I have a mission for you to do on earth. And he tells us that it's the Father's desire that his ministry, Jesus' ministry as Lord, continue on the earth so that the Father's will can be done there, just like it's being done in heaven. And he lets us know, he says, I want you to know on earth there's still many more people to be saved, many more to be healed, many more to be delivered. He tells us that he's going to send us to earth so that his ministry as Lord can continue there. Each of us will be given a mortal body that will camouflage us and make us appear as mere men. The mortal bodies we'll be wearing, he's given us a warning. He says, now I'm warning you, the mortal bodies you're going to wear, they're of a different nature than anything you're used to in heaven. Those bodies, I'm sad to tell you, are of the fallen earth, and you're going to find that those mortal bodies have strong desires and lust for pleasure. You're going to have to keep dominion over those mortal bodies by the strength of the nature of God that's in you. But those earth suits will allow you to work as guerrilla fighters on the earth behind enemy lines. You will appear to be sons of Adam, just like the lost people of the earth. And those mortal bodies will allow you to move upon the earth undetected as sons of God. You'll be able to infiltrate every race, every economic strata of man, in order that the Lamb's ministry as Lord may continue unabated through you. He tells us, we're listening, we're getting our marching orders. He tells us that it's paramount that we remember that the whole reason for him sending us to earth is so that his work as Lord can be continued to each one of us. He is not sending us to be lords in our own right. He is sending us so his lordship can be worked through us. He warns each of us not to set any agendas of our own. He alone will direct his lordship to each and every one of us. So someone in the group, one of the people in this group, in this vision, asked the question, Lord, since you're going to be here in heaven and we'll be on the earth, how will we know what you want to do through us each day? The Lord answers by saying, that's a good question. Now, each one of you is well acquainted with the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. You've been fellowshipping with him here for 1,000 years in heaven. He's going to go with you. And he's going to go with each and every one of you. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. He continually hears my instructions in heaven And He will reveal them to you on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. Don't worry. You will not lack for instruction. You will not lack for knowledge. You will not lack for wisdom. And you'll have no trouble at all distinguishing His voice, for, after all, you are Spirit-born children from heaven. And it's more natural for you to hear news from home than to hear any other voice on earth. So I'm sending you into the world, but never forget this. You're not of the world. The life that is in each one of you is from Me. It is the same life I received from the Father when I was raised from the dead. That life within you is of God. As you hear My instruction from the Holy Spirit, and then obey that instruction through words and actions, the Holy Spirit will be there to exercise the dominion of My Lordship upon the life within you, just as if I were personally speaking and acting on earth myself. You are My agents of authority on the earth. You speak and act in My name. The Holy Spirit is the Father's agent of power on the earth. And when you speak and act in My name, that is, in accordance with the instructions I give you, the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit will move to cause the restoration of fallen earth back to the original intent and purpose of our Father in heaven. By this process, all things are possible. This is how the Father's will is to be done on the earth, just like it is in heaven. And this is how My ministry as Lord will continue through you. And this is how you will bear much fruit. And this is how you will be My disciple. My ministry as Lord has not ended. It is expanded to function through each of you. And the mission has not changed. Through you, I will still be seeking and saving the lost, healing the sick, casting out devils, and restoring the fallen material realm to the original intent and purpose of the Father for mankind. Never forget this. The Spirit of life within you is that which you receive from Me. The nature within you is completely free from the law of sin and death that dominates fallen man on the earth. That law of sin and death has absolutely nothing in common with you, because you're from heaven. The law of sin and death that makes fallen man subject to it, it shall have absolutely no dominion over you at all. My nature of righteousness is infinitely stronger than the nature of sin and death that is within the sons of Adam. Never forget this. Nothing on fallen earth has any dominion over you. Not sin, not sickness, not devils, not poverty. Oh, and you should know that as you're on these missions in My name, I take full responsibility for meeting any needs you will encounter. I got to read that one again, don't I? Do you like that one? He says, I take full responsibility for meeting any needs you will encounter as you allow My Lordship to be exercised through you. If you need anything, just ask the Father in My name, and He'll give it to you. There is no reason for you to ever worry about a thing. Is this, you liking this toaster level stuff here? Are you getting, there are so many scriptures here drawn. I mean, you know, if I was to go back line by line, this is just incorporating a lot of the born again trail in a way that we can digest it a little better. Okay? Now we got just a couple more here. I'm going to back up and read those three again. I think we really need to read those three again. He says, I take full responsibility for meeting any needs you will encounter as you allow my lordship to be exercised through you. If you need anything, just ask the Father in my name, and He'll give it to you. There is no reason for you to ever worry about anything. So now go in my name. Allow my ministry as Lord to continue through you. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. I'm sending you into the world, but never forget, you are not of it. Hallelujah! 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 Now that we've read that, go right back over to John 17 again, and let's look at those little verses again. See if they mean a little bit more to you now than they did before. See if this is not what he prayed. That is exactly what he was praying. Hallelujah, John 17. Hallelujah. John 17, starting in verse 14 again, same verses we read before. He says, Jesus praying to the Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now get this. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You are sent from heaven. We are actually invaders from another world. Did you ever see that movie? What's the name of it? That movie, The Pod People. No. The Body Snatchers? Okay. Anyway, the whole idea was these aliens from another world, they were coming and they were basically taking over. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Yeah, that's what it was called. And so these pods would form, at the end result was it'd really be an alien, but it looked just like somebody on Earth. That's not that far from the truth. Except the planet we're from is really good aliens. We're God invading the planet. God in us. You are the temple. You're God's pod. You're the Messiah's pod. You're the temple that He lives in. And He sent us like guerrilla fighters, see? And we can infiltrate. And He's real smart. He made black ones of us. He made real pasty white ones of us. We got oriental ones of us. We can invade every race. We can invade it. See, and because we're not of the world, we don't love the things of the world. I mean, we know we're on an assignment from heaven. Dear Lord, the best thing, the best house, the best car, the best thing, anything this world could offer, compared to where we're from, it's like trash. We don't spend our lives accumulating trash. We're on a mission. Well, if we need anything, we'll just ask the Father. It'll be okay. He'll give it to us. Hallelujah, see? God, we need that kind of mindset. We need to think like that. That kind of thinking needs to take over our soul. Get it so real. Spend our life working for trash. Do you know where I'm from? The stuff that you fight wars over, we use for asphalt at home. And I'm going to fight with you over some little lawsuit over a few thousand dollars? Dear Lord, that's chump change. My thinking is a little higher than that. My life is about a little more than that. I'm on a mission from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to be about His business. And it don't matter to me. Jesus in Barbara. He says, your call. See, now He's Lord, see. That's where we get in trouble. That's where we get in trouble. Yeah, I don't think we have time. Let's see. Anyway, boy. What is that? How's Dave say? My mind just went in 35 directions. That's where we get in trouble. We start thinking like the world. We start not realizing we're on a mission. We're not realizing that Jesus is Lord. All this is really about, His ministry didn't come to an end, people. His ministry is expanded through the bodies of all of us. Not only that, it's expanded in time.
That's really what that verse means when it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The verse right above it says, consider the elders that have the rule over you and consider the end of their manner of living. The next verse says, well, what is the end of these elders who have matured in Christ? It's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just doing His ministry through them now, through their bodies. So His ministry's not only expanded in multitude, it's expanded down through time. He's been in heaven for 2,000 years now, and He's still doing the work through Daisy. He's still doing the work through Sue. He's still doing the work through each and every one of us. It's His ministry. He alone is Lord. So if He says, He put it in Barbara, He says, now, what I want to do through your vessel, what I want to do through your life, is I want Peoria saved, Barbara. I want you to go out and find the lost and the lame and the halt and the drug addicts and the ones that the world's given up on, and I want you, my ministry, through you, Barbara. That's why I keep giving you this heart within yourself. You go out and you compel them to come in. You go into the highways and the byways and you compel them to come in that my house be full. All right, He might take another one, because having rich folks is just as lost as poor folks. Somebody else who made, I don't want to pick anybody so you don't think it's God, but Larry Dillard, he may call him to be a multi-millionaire because most of them are lost. So he has to put Larry in a strata, an economic strata, so he can move amongst that group of people. How many of y'all sit at millionaires' tables on a weekly basis? How many of them, they don't invite me over to their house, do they, you? You know, most of them live behind locked gates with guards. How are you going to get in there? And plus, those are usually the hardest kind of people to get saved. They really think they're okay. You know? So Jesus, He has to have us in all races, and He has to have us in all economic stratas. And the thing of it is, if we give our heart to Him, it doesn't matter to us whether He has a servant on Peoria or whether He has a servant at the millionaire's table. In both places, all we're really doing is letting Him be Lord through it. He is seeking and saving the lost. That's all. Didn't make any difference. Amen. Amen. That's thinking from another world, though. I didn't quite finish that, did I? Verse 18. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. I'm going through this process that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Hold your place right there. Back right up just a couple of pages. Oh, hallelujah. Let me find it here. John 14. Notice He says, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Isn't that right? All right. Go back over here to John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's exactly how God sanctified us. Thy word is truth. The word there is logos. In the beginning was the logos. The logos was with God. The logos was God. And the logos became flesh and dwelt among men. And He be dwelling in men now. He dwelt among them then. He be dwelling in Ken here. Right here. He in here. See? And when He come in comes the truth. And Ken's sanctified by that truth, because the truth is that same life is in him that was in Jesus. And now he can walk the way. The way that is not of this world. Because you're not of this world. Not of this world. Our mind has got to be so renewed to that. We've got to get to the place where we... Things of this world... There's a verse in there, I didn't look this one up. But it's one of Paul's letters to Timothy. He's encouraging Timothy. Timothy came on hard times. Persecution was breaking out in the church where he pastored in Ephesus. And one of the things he said to him, he said, endure hardness as a soldier. But another thing he said to him, he says, you do know that a soldier does not get entangled in civilian affairs. A good soldier's mindset, he only wants to please his commanding officer. Well, our commanding officer is the Lamb in heaven. He alone is Lord. He sets all agendas. He's the one that sets your course. He's the one that Okay, we have schools now that you can go to be a prophet. You can attend that school, and you can learn everything that they teach, and you can do everything that there is to do, but unless He makes you a prophet, you ain't one. You know? It doesn't make any difference. He alone is Lord. There's a, you know, there's books and courses that you can, you know, out. God, I just can't hardly believe it. But, you know, they're basically questionnaires. And what they're doing is that, you know, you put down your, you answer these questions and it's your personality traits. And at the end, you tabulate it up and it tells you whether you have the tendency, you know, you're most likely a prophet or an evangelist or an apostle. Oh, give me a break. That's not how you find out your call. How do you find out your call? He tells you. And really, it's more than that. It's more than telling. He makes you that. You can't be anything else. You can't really be anything else when you submit to Him, because He's going to mold you into His image. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He molds you into the image, and specifically for what Jesus wants to do through you. You know, you may... I mean, I don't know that Barbara, when she was a young lady, says, I want to, you know, the highest pinnacle of my life, what I want to do, you know. Now, just as a young lady growing up, you know, what I want to do is reach out to drug addicts and alcoholics. I doubt she felt like that when she was 18. She may have. I'd have to ask her. But spending time with Jesus, spending time, you know, worshiping Him, reading the Word, especially praying in the Holy Ghost. His desire for His call in Barbara, he said, I don't know what it is. I just have this real desire. It just breaks my heart to see drug addicts and alcoholics, and I know they're going to go to hell, and nobody's reaching out to them. That's His call. So it's more than just words. It's what He makes you. Your desires change. Your desires start going down the path that He's called you to, and you can't really be happy doing anything else. You'd be miserable. Most of Christianity today, I don't care what they look like on the outside. They may have a really nice house and two nice cars and everything look right, smell right, act right, and be right on the outside. But if you could get on the inside of that home, be a little mouse where they didn't know you was there, the fighting and the bickering and the stuff going, I'm talking Christian home. Why? 99% are miserable. Have no idea what God's called them to do, have no idea what their mission on earth is, and they're basically conformed to the world. You know, they go to church, though, you know. They go to church, but they don't really spend any real time with Him. Don't give the Holy Ghost a chance to bring the desire of Christ, what He's called them to be, up in them to the forefront. If they do, their soul may start rebelling, you know. Well, then the same... See, here's the other scary part. You know, we went through that little deal about talking to the body. No, you can't have four pieces of coconut cream pie. There's another part of us that's not saved. And that's the soul. See, that's the soul. Go to Romans 12. Because this is... I know it's exciting to hear this. But if we're not careful, we'll be just like James and we'll walk out of this church and forget what manner of man we are. You remember that verse in there? It's not the hearer of the word that's blessed, it's the doer of the word. And he says most people, they'll come in all right, and they'll look into the law of liberty, they'll look into the mirror for a little while. That's what we're doing here, 8:30 to 9:30. But when they leave, then they forget what manner of man they are. See, I've got you pretty convinced right now you're from heaven. The devil's going to do a real good job this week convincing you you're from the earth. And that you're of the earth. And that you have no dominion whatsoever. That's his job. Through cares, afflictions, persecutions, lusts of other things, you know, deceitfulness of riches. That's the world stuff. That's the world stuff. And he's going to use all that trying to convince you. Yeah, you don't have any dominion. What do you mean you're from heaven? Well, we better know we're from heaven. What did I tell you? Romans? My God, that lion clock. Romans. We're going to have to cast that lion spirit out of that clock now. That's all there is to it. I'm tired of that rascal lying to me. Now get this. That little scenario is even going to help. I know that, now this is a verse, we're headed towards verse 2, as you know. But, now, this little scenario we just went through, you're going to see something here. Now watch this. What we want to do, the whole point of this, is that we live separate, above, let me put it that way, not separate in the sense of, I mean, the whole mission is go into the world. But separate from the evil that's in the world. Have the power to live sanctified like Jesus did. I mean, the religious folks got real mad at him because he was always going in amongst the publicans and sinners. Well, how else are you going to seek and save the lost? But see, the secret of the new life is you can do that and live above it. Live above the evil. That's what he's talking about. We do it by the strength of that new nature, see? All right, now watch. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In the light of that scenario we just read, let me read that a little differently. See, and say the same thing. Just see if this impacts you a little bit. I beseech you therefore, brethren, since you're on a mission from Christ and you've been bought and paid for by Him, that while you spend your life on earth, you give Him your body and let Him do with you as He wills. By that way, walking that way, you will walk holy and acceptable unto God. And by the way, this is why He sent you to earth in the first place. That's your reasonable... Why? If we're not going to do that, we might as well go on to heaven. If we're not going to let Christ live through us, why are we here? It'd be better just... I mean, you can tell His plan is to let Him live through us. Otherwise, I mean, God's not sadistic, you know. Otherwise, it'd be better the day you got saved, just take you on to heaven and get you out of this sin-sick place. No, He's got a higher plan than that. Christ has got work to do through us. And the whole idea is, okay, I'm not Lord anymore. You're Lord. Here. Such as it is. I give it to you. Do with this thing what you can. And He will. Now, how do you do that? Verse 2. Well, how do we do that? How do we live according to Christ's plan for us and not according to the world's plan for us, which is sin and destruction and death and man following his own ways? Well, you do it by verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Specifically, you're not of this world. You're not of this world. That's revelation number one. If you're not going to be conformed to it, you've got to know you're not of it. If you believe you're still of the world, at your core, you're going to act like the world. You're going to seek after the same stuff the world seeks after. You're going to spend your life as one beating the air, accumulating more trash. Well, trash compared to where you come from, trash compared to your home, trash compared to where you're going to. They use gold for asphalt there, crying out loud. So we don't want to be conformed to this world, but see, it would be wonderful. Okay, I got about a minute. It'd be wonderful if we got to live in heaven first for 1,000 years. See, that's the key. We didn't have that privilege. See, Jesus was born alive. He never was trained by a death nature and then get born again. We don't have that advantage. That's what makes Him vastly superior. He never had strongholds developed by a death nature. We do. We were born dead. We were trained by a death nature till whatever age it was you got saved. So what we have to do in order to walk like what God has really made us, which is from, you know, citizens of another planet on this earth, we're going to have to renew our mind, tear down those strongholds, tear down those strongholds that the death nature taught us, and replace it with the truth. And as we do that, then we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for that vision. Lord, we are not... Everyone say, I'm not of this world.
I'm not of this world.
Just like the Blues Brothers. I'm on a mission from God. I live on this world.
I'm in this world.
But I'm not of this world.
Soul,
you in for it.
I'm
going to
launch an attack
of the Word of God on you
until even you believe.
We are not of this world.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
It's going to take work because everything you experience daily is designed on purpose to keep you conformed to this world. If you're going to actually do verses 1 and 2, you're in for a lot of work.